Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to a Virginia-based artist and illustrator in the Shenandoah Valley, Mary Hairston from Mary Dean Draws. Inspired and encouraged by God's word, community, Mary creates fun, colorful, and engaging art that captures your imagination, encourages your heart, and equips you to encourage others. Her art creations come in the form of Bible printables, printed Bible cards, art prints, coloring books, postcards, greeting cards, and stickers. You can find her art prints at lovely retailers in several cities in the U.S. and more locally here in the Valley at the Sparrow's Nest in Stanton, Virginia, Blessings Christian Bookstore on Neff Avenue in Harrisonburg, and in downtown Harrisonburg at the Lady Jane Shop. Welcome to the show, Mary. It's great to have you on today.
So great to be here, Dawn. I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
Yay. Hi, everybody.
Oh, the laughers are in for a treat with you, because when I think of lovely and that word, you come to mind. You are such a lovely person. So yes, you are welcome. It's so good to see you again. It's been a minute though.
Yes, it has.
We just were figuring that out pre-show. That it definitely has been a few months, but I know this pandemic, darn it. But we've known each other for years through a local church that we both attended. Mm-hmm. So it is a blessing and a joy and a treasure to spend time with you again today. And I am stoked to share your story or some of it with the laughers, as well as your art. So what do you say we do that?
That sounds great. I'm so excited.
Yes. My first question for you is, I really did think you grew up here in Harrisonburg. I'm not sure why, but that's what I thought. But then I discovered you grew up all over the U.S. because of your dad's Navy career. In fact, you've lived in 8 states and 2 countries. What were those? Yeah. Where are these places? Where were you?
Well, I was born in Texas. My dad was in this is before the Navy, before he joined the Navy. He was in seminary there. And then we lived on the coast of North Carolina on the Outer Banks. And then we moved to a small town in Idaho. So he was a chaplain. So he was a pastor first. We lived in a small town in Idaho, Cottonwood, Idaho. Ever heard of it?
Never. But I have now.
And then he joined the Navy, and we were in Los Alamitos, California, Huntington Beach, California. Then we lived in Washington State. Then we lived in Okinawa, Japan. Then I moved back and finished high school in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Went to college in North Carolina. My family then moved to Maryland. And then they moved back to North Carolina. And then I lived in Thailand for 3 years teaching ESL, and then came back and went to grad school in North Carolina again. Then I lived in Richmond for a year. And then when I got married to my husband, he was here. So that's how I ended up here.
That is, wow, that is a lot of travel. So you have friends all over the world, I guess?
Yeah, all over. Yeah. But yeah, this is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. We've been here 15 years. So,
okay. You answered my next question. That was great.
Yeah.
Good job, Mary. What college in North Carolina? Because, you know, my son went to UNC Chapel Hill. Where did you
go? Yeah, I went to a small town called Gardner Webb University undergrad. And then grad school, I went to East Carolina.
Oh, ECU. That's a Pirates, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I remember them. That was some fun games, actually. Mm-hmm. They were fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. And you taught in Thailand. You were ESL teacher in Thailand. Is that what you wanted to do post-college? Was that the plan?
I really didn't know. Like, I had an English degree and my minor was in art, but I really didn't know what I wanted to do with that. I liked to write, but I didn't have a clear direction. And then the opportunity to go teach came up. I'd always loved teaching, but I'd never taught ESL. But I really loved that. I really loved teaching. It was a good experience.
What did you like most about that job?
I love seeing people learn anything, you know, whether I'm teaching art or teaching ESL, but I think people learning English, I don't know, you get to the relationships that you build with people as a teacher and the things that you learn about the world through them, I think is the most rewarding thing about teaching, you know, people from all over the world.
Yeah. Enriches your life. And
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Learned so much about their lives and their cultures and yeah.
Yeah. I love people. That would be exciting to me too. Mm-hmm. Just to
so
see
fun.
What makes them tick and how they look at life. And
mm-hmm.
I know every exchange I've had with someone that's very different than me, I feel is a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read recently, I heard somebody say that every conversation that you have with someone is an adventure because you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know where it's going to lead. And I love that. I love that idea.
Yeah. That's so true though, too. Mm-hmm. When you really take time, you know, more than the superficial, oh, hi, how are you? I'm fine. Right. How are you? But when you really get into talking about just even what's happened to you today, you know?
Yeah.
You learn so much from people about what their interests are. And you also realize you share a lot of similar struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that human connection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We need to maintain that.
Yes.
I feel like we're in the danger zone.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
Really important. I wanted to talk about this business name of yours because your first name is actually Mary Dean, though we all know and love you and call you Mary.
Yes.
And I thought when I looked at your business name at first, it's Mary Dean Draws. So you're an illustrator, an artist. And I was like, that makes perfect sense to me. But then... Right. And prepping for this interview, I learned that the draws part of your business name actually has deeper meaning. Can you share with the laughers more about that?
Yeah, it's kind of the idea that, you know, draws can have double meaning, like I physically draw, but also drawing on like these deep wells of God's wisdom, God's grace, God's encouragement. There's a scripture that says you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So that was kind of in my mind, that drawing idea. And it's the idea that there's this vast resource available to us. And like, I see part of my role is like drawing from that and sharing it, you know, for my own encouragement and for other people's encouragement. And I think usually I usually assume anything that encourages me will probably encourage someone else. So if I find something that is encouraging to me, I try to just pass that on and share. That's why the tagline to my business is like, be encouraged, be an encourager. I think there's a cyclical kind of thing that happens as you receive encouragements from someone, then you have something to pass on.
Mm. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I think that's highly valuable and it's such an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else when you turn around and share it. So,
and it's not transactional. It's not like, oh, I give you encouragement, you, but it's like a grand circle, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because we all share in our humanity. So we really are truly very much connected to one another.
Yeah.
And have a direct impact on one another.
Based on
what we do and say.
Yeah. And we have no idea when we send that out into the world. Like, I write blog posts all the time and I just kind of send it out. And a lot of times I don't get comments or I don't know, but it's like an act of trust. Okay. I'll just send this out and hopefully it will, even if it's one person that's encouraged today, then it's worth it. You know,
I agree with that. So thanks for sharing that. That's some deep stuff. Be sharing right now. So I'm going to move to a little bit of a lighter note. Guess what I'm drawing from right now?
That looks like popcorn.
Oh my gosh, it is. It's a bag of Preposterous classic cheddar popcorn.
Looks amazing.
It is amazing. Did you know that it's 100% nut free?
No.
I didn't know that either. I learned from my friends at Preposterous that, in fact, 1 out of 8 foods are responsible for 90% of food allergic reactions in the U.S.
Mm. My goodness.
I know. And this is why, Lappers, we're so delighted to share some savings with you today.
Yay.
So you can enjoy some of their delicious popcorn the next time you listen to a podcast of ours at the Virginia Is for Laughers podcast. So there's the promo discount. Write it down. If you're driving, please do not. We will put it in the show notes. Don't worry. But the promo code is LAUGH15. You just visit preposterous.com. That's PreposterouS.com. And did you know something else, Mary?
What?
This is exciting news I'm about to share.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm sending you some.
Oh, yay! Yay, I want to cook dinner.
Are you a popcorn for dinner lady? Are you one of those?
Absolutely. And cereal. Popcorn.
I like how you keep it simple.
Yeah.
Well, we will send you some so you can enjoy it for dinner or in your art studio. I want to talk about the art studio, too, because you operate this home studio out from your home, right? So your studio.
Yes.
Okay. Can you paint a picture for us about what your studio looks like? And and in that, share some of your favorite tools, art tools that you can absolutely not do without. You have to have them.
Yeah. So I laughed because it's not very glamorous. So we have a walk-in closet off our bedroom. And it's pretty big. It's got a window and a vent. So it's not tiny, but it's got, you know, like shelving. And slowly I've removed some of the shelving. And so I've got, you know, all my products on shelving, and I've got lots of art on the walls. Right now I've got flower sketches like pasted all over and I've got paper and right now there's watercolors all over my desk because I'm in the middle of painting. And so it's always a lot everywhere, and I try to clean it up, but it doesn't want to stay clean. So it's always kind of a little bit chaotic. But I guess that's how it is. I try to organize, but yeah, doesn't stay right.
I think that's the artist brain a little bit. It's like,
I think it is. Mm-hmm. I really try. I try hard. But so I have a couple of tools. So one of my tools that I use all the time is the iPad and the Apple Pencil.
Okay.
So I do some digital art, like with my scripture cards that I create. I create those on the iPad. So I have an iPad Pro, so it's nice. It's like a nice, you know, paper size, and I use the Apple Pencil. But I also do a lot of like scanning my watercolors and then, you know, drawing over them with the, you know, digitally altering them.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of how, like, I did a series of stickers that I scanned the watercolor and then drew on top of my watercolor. So I like kind of incorporating natural things and then digital drawing. I like playing with that. And then I don't have a whole lot of tools. I have watercolors and I have certain brushes that I really, really like that I'm attached to that can do what I want them to do. So I would say those are kind of, I mean, I'm not real fancy. I don't have particular, I'm not really particular about the watercolors that I use, but I have certain, I guess it's my brushes. And then I have like a scanner and a printer and my laptop, those things I use all the time. Mm. And then I have a lot of old paper because I really like painting on old papers and old sheet music. So I've got a lot of old things like that.
Where do you find the old things and where do you find the sheet music? I didn't have that on my list of questions, but now that you brought it up, that is something I have been curious about, is where do you find those old sheet, the old sheet music?
I gift and thrift, which is a local thrift store. They have a lot of old books. And so sometimes I'll find some really old, like piano instruction books. And then, or sometimes people just throw away. People know that I do this now. So they're like, I'm throwing away some piano music. Would you like my old books? And so sometimes people give me them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, listen to that, piano teachers out there. You can get in touch with Mary if you're wondering what to do with your old books, for sure. Now, yeah. You've been doing the art business, what, since 2014 now? Is that about when you started?
Yeah.
And you were an ESL, well, I think the ESL teacher, that was, did you transition from ESL teacher to the opening your art business, or what were you doing
before? I taught for a couple years at EMU when I moved in their ESL program. And then I had my kids. And so I had my first daughter and I kept working. And then when I was going to have Anna, my second daughter, I decided I wanted to stay home with them. But I still, you know, I still wanted to do something. So that's kind of when I transitioned to do the art business, because it was something that I could do from home and still be with them.
Mm. You know what I'm wondering too now is if your background in education is in English and you taught ESL, did you discover you were an artist in your childhood? And this is just something that's kind of been within you the whole time? Or is it something you picked up later in life and was like, wow, I'm pretty good at this? Which way was it?
I had always done art.
Okay.
So, like my mom was really crafty growing up, but I always was making, like I was making cards for my mom's, you know, for my mom that to give to friends, like all growing up. And then I had different art teachers, you know, through high school. And I had one in elementary school that really, she would just give me paper and I would just make things. So I always loved it. And then in college, it was, my minor was art.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
And so I didn't really do a lot of watercolor till like 2017 is when I started picking that up and doing more of the painting.
And then something special and unique about your art in particular is the watercolor art over the sheet music. Mm-hmm. How did you discover that? How did you discover you wanted to do that? And how did you discover putting that together?
There were a lot of like trial and error kind of things. And I knew I always loved hymns, and I love like things that are old and classic, you know, and have stood the test of time, and they kind of reminded me of poetry. And then I think I just tried one time. I tried it a couple ways. I tried it on the actual pages, and you know, it was like trial and error. And finally I figured I could print the hymn on watercolor paper and then paint on top of it. I tried to do it digitally. It just wasn't the same. So I'm actually painting on the hymn on watercolor paper. And then I really liked it. And then it really connected with people. And like some people would see a hymn and they like would start crying because it would remind them of, you know, a grandparent loved this hymn, or this is something that they sang at somebody's funeral. So there was like this really strong connection for people. So, and I saw that, you know, I knew it was something special.
Mm. So initially you gave this out to just friends as, is that how that
did the first, I think the first one I had, I think I sold them on my website and just as originals. And then eventually I figured out how to make the prints so I could sell the prints. And yeah, it's kind of one step at a time.
Oh, yeah. And nothing great happens overnight, does it?
No, it doesn't. It does not.
We want it to, but it doesn't.
And so even now I look back at the things I painted a couple years ago and I was like, oh, I think I've improved.
Yes, we get better as we do things. I'm wondering, as you're sitting there, you taught a couple of years at ESL or mm-hmm. ESL at EMU, I'm sorry. And then you're having your kids and you're starting this business, and you just walk me through what happened in your story there where you're like, you know what, I'm gonna throw my art on a website and see what happens. Like, what prompted you to do that?
I think initially it was like I was creating things that I wanted that I couldn't find.
Mm.
Yeah. So initially I was creating like nursery art with like a inspirational saying on it. And then I wanted my kids to learn some Bible verses, but I couldn't find anything that I liked that wasn't all flowery and butterflies, you know, something that really illustrated what the verses were saying. So maybe I'll figure out how to make something. and then I was like, well, maybe I'll share it, you know? So that's kind of, I think I started making prints, and then I was like, well, I have these things that I feel like are encouraging to me. I want to share them. So then that led to the setup of the blog, you know, so kind of.
Was the blog first before the website where you put your artwork up?
I think I started making the prints first on Etsy. So I had an Etsy shop, and then I started the blog.
Okay.
And so I only recently started having actually a shop on my website, only a couple years ago.
Okay. Did you have somebody go build a website for you, or did you self-teach?
No, I just did it all on my own. I've always done it on my own, just Googling things and trying to figure it out.
And watching YouTube videos.
Exactly. It's like, okay, I want to do this. How do I make this happen? It's very hacked together.
I think it looks quite beautiful, though.
Yeah, and then that's how I learned, like, Photoshop. I was just like, well, I want to do this, so I'm going to teach myself how to do this. And yeah.
I love how you just take initiative and just, I'm going to figure this out. So you kind of know what you want in the end, and then walk back and figure out how to get there.
Yeah. I'm kind of stubborn that way. Like, if somebody tells me you can't do this, I'm like, yes, I can.
That's why we were friends.
Yeah. I mean, I tell myself I can't do something, but you don't tell me that.
Well, it's never been done before. Well, it is now. That's really beautiful. Where do you get your inspiration for your art? What inspires you to create these things? You talk about a little bit kids and mm-hmm. not seeing what's out there, but there's like this artist, every artist has like their bent or their, what they're known for, you know. Some people do nature, you know, other people do buildings. What inspires you to create the art you create?
I think definitely I'm always inspired and sometimes distracted by just where we live. It's just the beauty of the valley. Like, and I'm just always like, even this morning I was driving my kids to school and the sun is just coming up as they're going to school. And just the mountains are so pretty and they look different. The mountains look different in different lights. The colors on the mountains change. The shadows change depending on the weather and depending on the season. You know, sometimes the mountains will look purple. Sometimes they'll look a blue. Sometimes they'll look kind of like an orangey purple. And I'm always like trying to figure out what color things are and how I'm thinking about the shapes and how I would like represent that and communicate that beauty. And I love flowers. Yeah. I love birds. So you'll see all those things. So I'm always just wanting to kind of somehow capture that beauty that I see.
Is it difficult to draw a bird?
Not as difficult as people, because you know, like if you get a bird's beak in the wrong place, it's not such a big deal as like getting somebody's nose in the wrong place.
Then it's abstract art.
Yeah. But I mean, birds have, it's, I think to me, it's all about like the shapes.
Yeah.
And so no, birds aren't that hard, but you know, yeah, they're forgiving. Not as, you know, they're a little harder than flowers, you know, flowers, you can kind of, you know, fake it, you know, if you don't know what it looks like, but.
Do you have a favorite type of flower that you draw?
I love poppies. You'll see a lot of poppies in my, because they're kind of big rounded shapes, which is kind of the kind of shape that I'm drawn to. And I like the way I paint as in kind of in big bold shapes and then adding layers of watercolor. So I don't like to get really super tiny detailed. Yeah.
I think it's pretty amazing actually what you do. So I would like for you to walk through a typical process for you to create one of your pieces of art. How do you go about doing it, creating one of your masterpieces?
Well, I've done, so I guess it depends on what I'm doing. Like in the fall, I did a whole landscape series. And actually I'm going to pick them up. They were at the Church of the Incarnation through the fall and they have a gallery space. So like for those, I took a lot of photos of landscapes. I just drove around, stopped the car, took a picture.
Safely, right?
Yes. Okay. And I took pictures and then I would crop my photos and get a composition set. And then I would,
Time out for people that aren't artists. What's a composition set mean? What does that mean?
So I will crop it into a form that looks balanced to me. Like,
okay.
All right. You know, so the color in terms of color and shape and line. Yeah. See, all right. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. So it's almost like you're taking a bigger picture and taking the part of it that you want to use, that you want to draw.
Yeah. Just like on Instagram, like if you have a picture and you crop it down to that square
Okay, great.
Yeah. So figure out the composition. And then I do with my landscapes, I do a lot of layering. So I'd start with just a light pencil sketch and then I would layer watercolor layers, multiple layers of watercolor. Then I use chalk pastels on top of it, or something called new pastels, which get creamy when you, and then I layer with pencil on the top. So I do a lot of mixing of media. For the hymns, I do a lot of like sketching and figuring out like the color palette that I want. And I try to, a lot of times my impulse is to just jump in and start painting, just, you know, free for all. And I think there's part of it that you have to be free and kind of let it like find that creative flow and just go with it. But I'm also trying to train myself to also plan a little bit. Like the other day I did a whole painting, spent like 2 hours, but I had the colors wrong and it's just not going to work. So I'm trying to plan a little better.
I see.
Yeah.
It works better. What would you say is the smallest piece of art you've created? And what is the largest piece of art you've created so far?
That's an interesting question. Well, I did. So at the Lady Jane, there's this Harrisonburg ABCs poster. Have you seen that?
No, I need to see it.
Yeah, it's cute. And it's I made it of all these little water. I just did little watercolors and then I scanned them all in and put them into a poster.
Yeah.
So there's a little watercolor illustration for each letter of the alphabet about something in Harrisonburg, like ducks. And so I would say those were super, those were really tiny.
Okay.
And then the biggest, I have this big canvas in my office right here. And it's somebody just gave me a big canvas. They're like, oh, you're an artist. Here, you want this?
Sure.
So I painted it black and then I used oil pastels and did flowers from my garden. And it's probably like 36 by 48. It's really big.
Wow, it is. And it's a large piece.
So it's just sitting here and makes me happy when I walk in.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of what makes you happy when you walk in, what are some of your artistic career highlights so far that do make your heart smile?
I definitely have loved the times that I've gotten to have my art at the Lady Jane. Sarah's had me for the last couple of years. And so there's customers that come in and buy my art, but I've had some originals there in the fall. So she has an artist a month that she lets display on her wall. So that's been really great. And she's been such an encouragement to me.
Her.
I do too.
Shout out to Sarah. We love you.
Yes. So many people know my art through that shop, you know, and just being, so I feel like it's just great to be part of the community. Because in the blog world, like it's, you know, it's not really based in a community. It's just kind of putting things out there. But here I could see people respond to the art. And that was, that's always a highlight. And I think all the paintings from my fall show the landscapes that I had there, all of them sold.
Wow, that's really wonderful. Amazing. Congratulations. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
I was going to ask if I could get one. And now.
Oh, I need to do another one.
I lost out, laughers.
It was really fun having my art at the Church of the Incarnation, a beautiful gallery. And, you know, I walk in there and see my art on the walls and I'm like, what? This is like a dream, childhood dream. Just be a real artist. It's amazing.
Where people not only look at it, but they buy it.
I know. It's like, what is happening? Yeah. So that's just amazing to be able to do that. And then I think like other highlights are just sometimes people will email me and say, hey, I used your scripture cards in like my prison ministry. They're just knowing, or they'll, I used this, you know, when I went on a mission trip in South America or something, they'll send me a picture. So just the idea that people are using what I created, you know, to encourage myself that it could be used to encourage people is humbling and a blessing.
Mm. Do you create special occasion greeting cards or holiday greeting cards with your art?
I just started. So I just started selling wholesale this last year, and I created a line of cards. You can get them on my website too, but there's birthday cards and anniversary and kind of encouragement cards. And like just a friendship card. And then I have some hymns that I have made into greeting cards too. Mm. So there's a collection. Yeah. So that was kind of like another dream come true, is to have a card collection.
Yeah, that's really great. Do you have Christmas ones?
I did Christmas hymns this past year. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because that seems like that would be a really cool card to send. It'd be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I'm going to have to check those out next time. Yeah. Next Christmas rolls around. What would you say is the most challenging and rewarding? What's most challenging and most rewarding about what you do?
I think most challenging is probably just dealing with my own brain.
Every artist problem 101.
I have so many ideas, so many things that I would like to do. And, we're in a busy season. The kids, we're going to have a high schooler next year. She plays volleyball. We've got in the play, and then the little ones playing that. So, just like life stage, it's busy. And so just prioritizing the art and amid, having to pay for braces and all the things, that this stage of life brings.
That's the challenging part. So what's the rewarding part?
Oh, I think just being able to create something that connects with people is really exciting. Sometimes I'll meet people and they're like, "Oh, I have your art in my bedroom." And I'm like, "Really? Like, how is that so humbling that, that something that came from my hand, that you would put it on your wall?"
Yeah.
That's definitely rewarding and humbling.
And humbling. Yeah. I think that's great. Definitely Laffers, check out her art for sure, but also check out her blog. You've mentioned it a couple of times already during the interview. What kind of topics do you blog about?
I have blogged about lots of things. I'll talk about the things that I'm reading, basically whatever kind of is encouraging me or I'm learning at that moment is usually something I'll share. I'm going through a series right now about the words that Jesus spoke specifically to women. Mm. So I'm doing a piece of art and writing a poem, which is a little, stretching me a little bit. I'm not really a poet, but that's been really fun to kind of look at the Bible through that lens, and then in 2016, 2017, I was learning a lot about racial justice, and reading a lot. So I have a whole series that I wrote kind of, these are the things, all the things that I've learned in over this, year and a half, 2 years, 3 years span. And these are the resources that have been really helpful for me. So I wrote a whole series on that. Sometimes I'll just, post a free coloring page or some piece of encouragement, that is speaking to me at that moment.
I've read a few of them. They're really great. I love that you're just so candid about what you're thinking and sharing that with people. It is encouraging. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really, it's beautiful. And you also have on your website a list of anti-racism resources that people can look at too. It's not everything that's out there. You make that clear, but it's just things that you've come across and have read and impacted you. What led you to learn and get educated about the work of anti-racism?
I think it was in 2016, 2017. There were just a lot of, there were several police shootings that, I think it was that summer, if you remember. And I was kind of observing the response of some Black women, like just in my Instagram feed, and, you know, observing their lament over these situations and their grief and the way that they were having to talk to their Black sons. And I was watching that, and I was like, oh, you know, I think that I'm missing something. I think there's something that I don't understand. There's something that I can't, I'm not quite entering into this pain that they, that these women are feeling. I feel like I have gaps in my understanding of the situation in this country, you know? And, you know, of course, so as I started digging, then the more I realized that I didn't understand, there, you know, whole gaps in like, even just in history that I didn't understand, you know, much less like mass incarceration and all these things that, that just wasn't really part of my world growing up, in my experience. So, yeah, so that just led to just a lot of reading and a lot of podcasts and just trying to learn and trying to understand. Yeah, it's just definitely a life-changing process. And so, you know, those resources that are on there are things that just really helped me and helped me understand it, you know, as a Christian, from a Christian, well, like, how does my faith relate to this? Yeah. And so there's just so many good resources out there that I found helpful. I wanted to share them.
Yeah. What would you say surprised you the most as you were learning and getting educated about anti-racism, that you just was like, I never knew that. I just did not have any earthly clue.
Probably the whole history, like post Reconstruction, that era. I had no idea that there was such a thing as the Great Migration, you know, out of people leaving the South in that. I think, you in school, you learn about the Civil War, you learn about Abraham Lincoln, and then you learn about civil rights movement. But you don't learn about anything. What happened? You know, what went on? You don't learn that whole really critical piece of history. And then, so then you're missing, like, so you see, like, a city like Detroit or Chicago, and you see the conditions there, but you have no idea all the things and all that went into the creation of these circumstances, you know. So you're missing all these connections that if you trace the history back, you know, even if we look at the, you know, even if you look at our own city, you know,
right,
you might see something, and but you don't understand how we got here.
Right.
So, yeah. So all those connections, I think, probably the most surprising, like, how did I went to college. I went to grad school. How do I know that?
How do I have two college degrees and I don't know this?
Yeah,
that is a problem. Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
It's a problem. So important. And you have in the list of resources, I saw some TED Talks too, that looked pretty good.
Yeah.
What are the couple of ones that stand out? I mean, you wouldn't list them if they didn't impact you, but are there a couple you can recommend that stand out to you even now when you're thinking about it?
I think definitely I love anything by Isabel Wilkerson.
Okay.
Am I saying her name right? Yeah. She wrote about the Great Migration that I mentioned earlier. I think her TED Talk is really good. She wrote a book called The Warmth of Other Suns that I always recommend. It's a big, thick book, but it's one of those like makes all the connections and does it really, really well. There's another video linked on there by Beverly Tatum. She wrote a book called Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? I think that's the name of the book.
Okay.
But she has a video, does a really good job explaining race. She's amazing. And then the Brian Stevenson video, I think it says The Conversation We Need to Have About Race. He's amazing as well. He wrote a book called Just Mercy. They made a movie out of that. He's done a lot of work with people on death row. He's amazing too. And his anything he writes or says is worth watching.
Great. Yeah, thank you for that. And Lappers, yeah, if you want more resources, you can head to our website. That's marydeandraws.com to get a fuller list. And that can be helpful to you. I think it would be good for all of us to keep getting educated.
Yes, always.
On this, I am a mother of a biracial son. And as a white mother, I know I still have a lot of things to learn. I value the conversations that I have with my son about this topic because mm-hmm. he brings a different perspective culturally. And I do appreciate that insight. And I love that we've come a good ways, but we still have a long ways to go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. The more compassionate we can be and the more educated we can be,
mm-hmm.
I think that helps all of us, you know, sharing in our humanity.
Yeah, being better humans.
Being better humans.
Absolutely. That's the goal, right?
That is the goal. We go about it imperfectly, all of us, but that I think down deep in most people is that they feel that way. That is the goal. So when you're not creating your beautiful art or running your art business, what do you enjoy doing? Or, you know, herding your three cats, otherwise known as your children.
I also have three cats too. So.
That's funny.
It is funny that you said that.
Okay, the real cats and the kid cats. Mm-hmm. And you're married. When you're not doing all of that, what are you doing? What do you enjoy doing in your free time?
Oh, that's a fun question. I love, my favorite thing to do is to thrift. I love thrift store shopping or antiquing. So yeah, I just like old things. I like sorting through things and finding treasures. And I like wearing vintage clothing and putting things together. Decorating the house with it. It's kind of like a fun challenge to try to find things secondhand. And I love being outside when it's warm and it's sunny. I like working in the garden. I'm a terrible gardener.
But you love doing it.
But I love doing it. I just like throw the seeds in there. And I've never been able to really grow a vegetable, but I keep trying. And my brain is too chaotic for gardening. And I like being with friends and
You're a beautiful soul, Mary. You're a beautiful soul. So I would love if you are welcome. I would love, as we wrap up here, if you can share with people how they can follow you on social media or otherwise to connect with you.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Facebook as Mary Dean Draws all together. And you can go to my website, marydeandraws.com, and there's a sign up for my newsletter. So that's probably the best way to keep in touch and, you know, be alerted of any new art that's coming out or any new blog posts.
Oh, I love it. And laughers will also be sure to put that information in the show notes for you. Plus, we also have for you that discount promo code LAUGH15 so that you can buy delicious gourmet popcorn at prepopsterous.com, PrepopsterouS.com. And we'll put that in the show notes for you as well. And thank you so much, Mary. This has been super delightful hanging out with you today. As always, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it so much.
Yes, you bet. And laughers, you can see Mary's art locally right here in the Shenandoah Valley at the Lady Jane Shop in downtown Harrisonburg, the Blessings Christian Bookstore on Neff Avenue in Harrisonburg, or at the Sparrow's Nest in Stanton, Virginia. You can follow daily glimpses of her life and art on her Instagram at Mary Dean Draws, and or check her website out at marydeandraws.com for her blog, freebies to shop, her list of anti-racism resources, and much more. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.